This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Sage Advice Podcast with me, your host, Sin Sage. Today, I'm so excited. I have the incredible, looking so fucking hot today, Adora Bell. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. I'm extra good after that compliment.
Oh my God. Like, you look like a supermodel.
I think your hair looks so cute.
This is my hair when I don't apply heat to it. So it's very wavy and not my favorite, but you know, I'm working with it. I'm trying to work with it.
You had curly hair.
I'm in the closet about my hair. So it's the only thing.
Beauty.
So yeah, why don't you please, would you introduce yourself to my listeners and say who you are and what you do?
I'm Adora Bell. I'm a cam girl, a content creator, a all-around sex worker. I guess not all around, but in a lot of ways.
Generally speaking, you.
Yeah.
Fall under the umbrella of sex work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. So gosh, I'm like sitting here just stumped. I'm like, what do I even talk about? I'm sorry. I'm overwhelmed by your beauty. So I don't love to ask the question like, how'd you get started in the industry? But mm-hmm. how we could talk a little bit maybe about how you got to where you are today and we'll talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So I started with camming. I quit a job that I hated and was taking a lot of nudes when I was at that job and posting them on Tumblr. And I was like, how do I sell these?
Yeah, Tumblr.
Tumblr, the good old days.
Rest in peace.
And so I was looking on Craigslist and found something for camming, and it was for group cams. So I met a guy in a coffee shop, and he showed me Chatterbait, and we talked about like all the things, and he gave such gay vibes that I was like, I feel so comfortable, I feel safe.
Yeah, totally.
And then I went to his like house had a little studio room in it, and he would do group camming from there. So my first day, I met with him, and then this girl comes in, and she is so hot and alt, and I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna get to like maybe kiss her. And we made, I think we each made like $500 that day, and I was like,
that's amazing.
I have to do this.
Yeah.
I was so excited. I was like, I just got to come a bunch. I got to make out with a girl. This is so sick.
Yeah. So what was his like business model? I mean, did he take a percentage of what you made on the website, or how did that work?
No, he was really nice. Honestly, he should have taken some sort of like, you know, just like a 10% like organizing fee or something.
Yeah. Because that's what I'm trying to
fully split the whole pay separately. He would send it to each of our accounts on Chatterbait.
Okay. Yeah.
And just separate it evenly, which which was so nice. And a lot of times it was like between three, there were some times where it would be four. I think we did one where it was five of us. Yeah. That got wacky.
Yeah.
And then I did solo ones and once like once I started wanting to like travel with Cammie, like go to conventions and stuff, it was like, it makes sense to make content because everyone I knew was also like, oh, well, I have these clip stores. And I was like, how do you do?
Yeah.
What is that? I don't understand.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was a journey for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then did you at some point figure out like, okay, well, I actually don't need to go to this guy's place to cam. Like I can do this from my own, the comfort of my own living room or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. He did encourage us to do that, but it was like the,
wow.
I mean, the first like few months of doing it, I was like, why would I do that though? But then, talking to some of the other people and like hanging out with them in like personal time and talking to them about how they were doing their like, solo cams, I was like, oh, okay. I kind of figure this out, but I am really grateful that I had them to do it. Cause I mean, Chatterbait has so many like features and stuff. So I think I would have been so lost and intimidated to start.
Yeah.
I was like, why are there are all these buttons?
Yeah. And even the way that you do it, like contests or, you know, spinning the wheel or all of those types of things. Like if I would have started camming with a site like Chatterbait, I would have been like, how to, what?
Like, yes, it's not just like tip me to show boobs. Like I don't.
Right.
Well, which I mean, it can be, but you know, I was like,
for sure.
There's so many options.
How do I make the money? Yeah. And so for me, like when I first tried webcamming, it was just Stream8. That was sort of the main, like what there was. And with that, it makes more sense to me because I came from the strip club. That was my first sort of sex worky space. And it was like, oh, okay. So I kind of talk to the guys in this big room and tease them and then say, so who wants to take me into the private room? And that's where I would earn the money per minute or per dance if it was in the strip club, you know? So that model always made a lot of sense to me. And then when my free cam started and stuff like that, I was camming with another model and she's like, do you want to try this my free cams way? And I was like, I heard of it. I looked at it, but I don't quite understand it.
Yeah.
And we did that for a while, but it was like, we did that for, you know, sitting around for like an hour and really struggled to make, I was like, I don't see how this works. And to me, the way that it always seems to me is that for the free model, my free cams or Chatterbait, you have tons more people in the room, but it's a lot more difficult to like extract the money from them. And so maybe you could explain that a little bit, like how do you make that work for you? And do you end up having to work much more time? Like you have to be on cam for like 6 to 8 hours versus like 3 hours or whatever.
I used to stay on cam based on like financial goals, but after starting clip stores, it was like, there's so much other work I could be doing. I'd be like on cam and like anxious that I'm doing nothing when I could do so much other stuff.
Exactly. Yes.
When I first started solo camming, it was so difficult, like figuring it all out. But there was like, there's still like the privates on Chatterbait where it's one-on-one. I felt like that was like the main way that I made money when I first started. And then, but it was also like, oh my God, my token rate was like 18 tokens per minute in the shows. Cause I just didn't, I was just, you know, hanging out.
But I mean, just chilling. But how much is the token? It's like a nickel or something.
It's a nickel on our end. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which like later I would like explain to them. And a lot of guys would like tip extra once they found out, which was really awesome. They'd be like, what do you mean you only get 50%?
Right.
I was like,
so if it's a token is 18. Wait, what is it? You would get 18 tokens, but that's, I'm not good at math.
I know.
It doesn't sound like
that. Honestly, I only do the math in 100 tokens now in my brain because 100 tokens is $5. So,
yeah, see, that makes sense.
Yeah. So I was like,
what
the? So later on, when I was like just upping my prices just because the amount of people that would want them was higher. I was like, oh, well, now I can do the 35. Now I can do the 60. Oh, now I'll just do the 90 token one, which I think the next one after 90 is like 200 something tokens. Maybe not. Maybe 120 something. I don't know.
Yeah. See, with scamming, it's all this math you have to do.
It's a lot of math. Or it's me being like, these two numbers look cute together. So 88 tokens for boobies. Yeah. when I was doing the Lush and Lovin' stuff, I had somebody that was doing it. I was doing like a girl show, and she was like, oh, when I do this, I just do like some that are funny numbers. Like I'll do like 420 for 420 seconds, or I'll do 666. For 666 seconds. And I was like, oh, that's cute and fun.
Yes. Hail Satan.
So now you got to put in a 666 on your tip menu.
It's way more fun that way. So now it's like a little bit more, it's more challenging because you've transitioned more into making the clips and so sitting around for hours and just being like, I'm just chilling is like, no, I could be editing. I could be shooting a clip. Like, and then I know that leads to future money. Yeah. So how many, like how often do you hop on cam for then?
I hop on cam almost 5 days a week, but only for 2 hours. That is my max limit. I'm like, okay, if I'm here for, I'll be on maybe for 3 hours. If like, everybody in the chat is talking and having fun and being funny. If they're not being funny, I'm not interested. and if like the tokens, the financial aspect of it is really good. Sometimes I can stay on for, I know semi-recently I stayed on for 4 hours, but it was because they were doing like fun song requests and like fun conversation plus all the tokens that they were coming in with. I was like, I can stay here if this is what we're doing.
So do you find that you have an audience that will keep coming back? I mean, 5 days a week, that's like pretty, like you're still definitely camming, right? Like that's
definitely
part of your job.
Camming. some days better than others. But I have, I would say the last year I've had a really good group of guys that come in.
Yeah. They keep coming back and.
Yeah. Where it's got the community vibe where everybody's like, oh, where is that guy today? That guy hasn't been in like 2 months. Is he okay?
Totally.
And I think that's so sweet. I love a little bromance in my chat.
Totally. I'd say around 2020, 2021, I was definitely doing lives on my OnlyFans more often. And it was the same thing. It'd be like a core of like the same 10 to 20 people that were always in there, and they're interacting with each other and, you know, oh, where's so-and-so, you know, she emailed me, she's going to make it today. So mine were like mostly women, but.
Oh, I love that.
yeah. It's cool. But feeling that you're beyond just, oh, you're all here for me or whatever, but more like, oh, look, we've created this space that we can all hang out and have a good time. And my tits might come out, but like, I'd say honest to God, like most of the time, I didn't even end up doing like super sexual things. I would just kind of get naked and talk with them, and they would still be tipping and just like having a really nice time together. And the thing that I feel that's actually a really sustainable model, because those people are going to support you in different ways for always, kind of, you know, without these expectations and stuff.
I do have a rule of like always being genuine on cam, because it's like, it's not sustainable if you're trying to be somebody else on there.
Yeah. Like a certain type of character that's not authentic to you.
Yes. It might be a happier version of me, a more cheerful.
Of course.
Definitely still. And sometimes I will just be a sad girl on there and they're still like nice to me. I have a tip option for doing the chicken dance. And if I am actively so grumpy and like PMSing, being like, guys, it is going to happen any day now. then yeah. a lot of times they'll have me chicken dance until until I'm like, until okay.
Like lift your spirits. Like you can't even help it. You're like, I am doing this chicken dance and I'm not going to like it, but well, all right then I guess I like it. So, so how long have you been in the industry then? Like what year was it when you, did that camming thing first?
I'm pretty sure I started in 2015. I go based off of like, I know my first convention was a fetish con and it was within like right within my first full year of camming, and that was 2015. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, so fetish con, that it's interesting because only because I feel that fetish con really draws, you know, fetish creators or sessioners or whatever. Not as much in my mind anyways, I don't think of it as much as like the camming community being sort of the target. So how did you find out about that? Like what led you to go to FetishCon of all conventions first?
I know. Okay. Well, some of the people that I was camming with in the group, we were all kinky. Like we loved doing like implement spanks kind of things and like some versions of bondage. Like everybody was still really new to doing any bondage, honestly. But it was like fun for us to practice like ropes and stuff on each other. That was fun.
Totally.
And then I was talking to another cam model who I'd been watching since before I started stuff. I didn't watch her on cam, but I didn't know that they were stolen videos on the internet.
I have to educate people about that.
Truly, yes. Same. Yeah. But you know, like before you know, you don't know. You just know you're watching porn.
Yeah.
So unfortunately that's how I found her. But then when I did, I gave her a lot of my tokens. And she was saying that she was going to go there, and I brought it up to some of my cam people, and they were like, oh, we have to make it in. So that was really fun. That was really fun there. They had, some of those people were starting doing clips. They had visions of like making production companies. I mean, 8 years ago, clip sites were a thing, but I don't think cam people knew as much that they were.
I feel like OnlyFans changed that. Like once people were like, oh, wait, I can make my own content. And then they're like, wait, what are these clip stores where I can sell the content I'm selling on OnlyFans in these clips? It's like, yes, please do that.
Yes. Nothing makes me more frustrated than when I meet a girl who's like doing crazy good. And I'm like, okay, but do you have a minute? Do you have a clips for sale? I want clips. Any of these other things where you can sell clips individually. I mean, even what is it called? It's one of the phone sex things. Night flirt. Night flirt. You can sell goodies on there. You can sell videos.
Yep, you can. You can. And really you should. And even if some venues are like only bringing in a little bit of income, it's just like, this is what we tell everybody that we meet is like, you got to diversify your portfolio. Yeah.
Like, it's going to randomly shut down. So
that's the key. Yeah, that's it.
Or so, when you can't even, or if you just have like something happen where you can't work anymore, it's like, have it on as much stuff as possible.
Yep. Cause you just have more chances to pull in some money, you know? Yeah. So when you were at FetishCon, did you go to the meet and greet and book a bunch of shoots? Like, did you shoot anything at all? Or was it just, how did you use that your first time?
I know there? I shot some things, but I mostly went to shoots with a girl. The one who I was already watching before. And that was like inspirational. I was like, oh my God, okay, so this is how she's like figuring out, because it's all, I mean, a lot of stuff is kind of on the fly. You're kind of improving a lot of stuff. So like beforehand, I was like, what do you mean you're doing like foot videos? Do you know what that means? And she was like, no, but I've got Chews with me and I'll let him direct me and stuff. So it was like, it was really good to watch. Education. I shot a slime scene there. That like, was super fun.
Like wet and messy?
Yes. That was so fun. And I know I shot something else, but I don't remember what it was. I think it was actually like, no, I think I just met the people there. And then later I shot a boy-girl scene with them, like a bondage boy-girl.
Yeah.
But
so what were your,
a lot of networking, just a lot of meeting new people.
Yeah, well, they're great for that. All conventions are like really outstanding for that. So even if you don't do the work with them at the convention, you have future potential possibilities. You've met in person. Like, I think that's why conventions are a really good tool for a lot of, you know, for all that. So then that gave you sort of some experience of understanding, like, of making clips and how it's different a little bit, camming live versus producing and performing in clips and video.
Yeah.
And did that make you realize like, okay, I want to be making this content too? Did it open you up to performing for other companies, like as a paid performer?
Yes, to all those things.
Yeah.
I think a little bit before FetishCon, I opened up a mini vid store, and then like just even being able to see the whole platform and how many clips people are making and stuff was really, it was eye opening in a lot of ways. Then doing those shoots. And then it was like much, much, much later that I did any paid shoots. But that was more because I didn't know how to reach out to people, or had a lot of I guess doubts that like people wanted to have like a thicker, hairy model. I was like, that's not a thing. But then I did have someone who, this one girl, Becky LeSabre, really taught me how to do a bunch of fetish shooting. She was like, oh, if you just want to come over someday, I'll walk you through everything. And she is like a porn mastermind. She had like scripts written out. She was like, these are just ones that I've had because I've done this for so long. Here's like a printout of what categories on Clips for Sale I use and how much money they've brought me in throughout the year. And I was like, this is so much info, and like having her walk me through it was so useful. And then she was like, I'll shoot this belly video, and then you can literally just repeat everything I said, improvise in yours right afterwards. I was like, this is the best.
Yeah, so valuable.
So really valuable. Connecting with other models is definitely, I think, the thing that has made it so that way I've grown into doing other parts of sex work.
Yeah. Okay. So have you always been, prior to getting into camming and sex work and stuff like that, your personal grooming style was more French, let's say.
Yes. Yeah. Very European of me.
Yes. You know, me growing up, and it was just, this is what you do. Once you start growing hair on your armpits and your legs, like, time to shave, right? I actually remember even being in sixth grade and other girls were telling me they were shaving. And I was like, I kind of had to beg my mom, like, please, I want to shave my legs. Yeah. So I'm very interested to hear what that was like for you when hair started growing on your body. And at which point did you kind of say to yourself, like, well, fuck this shit, I'm not shaving anymore? Or how did that
It was very much that kind of phrase. I was so used to shaving everything. And I don't know what I thought of body hair. I think I just thought, well, it's growing, shave it off. Like, that's it.
Right.
And then I went to beauty school and we were doing waxing and stuff. And I was like, oh, I always shave my armpits. Why don't we wax them instead? But you have to let your hair grow a little bit before you wax.
Yeah.
And like, we were only allowed to do waxing. I'm also a very good girl, like, rule follower. So when they were like, you can only do this in your free time, I was like, well, I guess we can only do it in our free time. So it was like a month of me being like, I've been growing out my armpit hair and we still haven't shaved it. Guys, we need to wax me. But I get ingrown hairs a lot. And then I started following a lot of like feminist things. And I was like, I guess nothing bad has happened and I haven't shaved them or waxed them in like a month and a half.
Yeah.
This is kind of fine.
Yeah.
This is okay. I can just like do this. And I was like, also it'd be like, I felt like a lot of what I was seeing was that like, I mean, it was also like, I think it was in 2012 when I was doing it, when I started, maybe 2013. And I feel like everything I was seeing was like, feminists are like dirty hippies who don't wear makeup and don't like girly things. And and I was like, well, I like girly things. I just also believe in like my bodily autonomy.
Yeah.
Women's right to do whatever they want as long as they're the one choosing to do it and not harming anyone, obviously.
Of course. Yeah. Seems reasonable.
Like, I was like, it'd be cool to be like a hot girly girl and be a feminist with pit hair. Sick, I'll do that. Even though I was still shaving my pussy heavily at the time. Like, any pussy hair, I was like, make it go away.
Yeah.
It took a long time before I was like, oh, I can like have a bush and that'd be hot too.
Did you encounter in personal life hookups any resistance to that? Like anyone that was like, whoa, oh my God, you have all this hair, and being like a dick about it or whatever.
I honestly had a lot of people be shocked after hooking up with me that I had hairy armpits. Like they didn't even notice until during having sex, and I was like,
right,
well, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah,
I was like, did it change anything for you? And they're like, not really, we just kind of wanted to fuck you because you were hot. I didn't even think about your armpits. I was like, I think I had one boyfriend when I was like deep into like filming and everything where he was the one who was like, could you shave your pussy for me? But I would be like, no, I have to grow it out at least 6 months before I can shoot for like ATK Harry or something.
Right.
Like, no, I'm 3 months deep. This is a lot of time and effort.
Yes. And that's the thing is that's why there is this distinction in the industry that's like, if you are a hairy model, that's who you are. You're a hairy model. And for that reason is what I, as far as I can tell, because it takes so long to grow it out, like you have to make a decision at some point in the business and say to yourself, like, I'm going to be a hairy model, because you can't really be waffling back and forth. It's just, you know, you're not going to work for like a mainstream kind of regular where you're expectation is to be at least cleaned up down there in a certain extent. And and then
at the very least, a trimmed bush.
Right. And then you get a booking for ATK Harry and you're like, well, fuck, I can't do that. Like, I'll see you in 6 months maybe. And then maybe they're like, well, now we don't want to hire you. I mean, you know, just anything like that can happen.
Yeah. I will say I go back and forth, but it's just because I like the sensation of having a mostly shaved pussy, but I'm finding that my fans are okay when I have like full top bush and like shaved lips. They're like, okay, this is fine.
Which is obviously like my deal. Like that's how I do. That's how I've always done. But for me too, it's just that like the, I think when my early 20s, I tried completely bald with a razor blade, shaved it like maybe two times, And both times I was just like, why did I do this to myself? Fuck. Like it hurt
like, look in the
really
mirror
bad.
And you feel silly or like,
no, it wasn't physical the way that pain. It looked. It's yes. It was like, it itched so bad. It was like that burny, rashy feeling on the top part. So the bottom part, the lips, like that's always been shaved and it can be nice and smooth and it's pretty, pretty easy to do. But that top part, the patch above the clit, like when I shaved that, it was just, oh my fucking God. Cause the hair, the pubic hair, it's thick. And it's thicker than like other hairs that grow. And so as it's like bursting through your skin, it's just like, oh, it's like stabbing. And so I'm done with that. I'm making a little patch or a little runway or whatever the fuck.
Yes. Yeah.
Just been that way ever since. And then I heard about the laser stuff and I did.
Oh, yeah.
And I was getting, because again, like the ingrown hairs, that only happens with razor blades. Like if you wax or whatever, but I was like, fuck that. I wax my beehole because I feel like it's a little more tough. Like my beehole can take it in a way that like my pussy lips are so tender and sensitive.
Yeah.
So I never wax. And then, but with the razor blade, I was often getting ingrown hairs and then I would try to pluck them and get into the ingrown hair and pluck it. But if there's even a little bit of like bacteria on the plucking device, one time I got a fucking boil down there.
A boil.
So it's like a big old looking, like it looked like if you popped it, it would burst and like goo would come. I mean, it was gnarly.
And I was like, okay. Just thinking about it.
Yes. And I literally had to go to like urgent care and have them lance the boil or whatever, like get rid of it. And it was just an awful experience. You know, I couldn't work, do hardcore stuff for a couple weeks. And so I'm like, I have to figure out something else. Mm-hmm. And I went and I did the laser and I did like several sessions, maybe like somewhere between 6 and 8. And now I don't have that problem at all. And so when I do, I still have to shave because like thin, light colored hair will start to grow, but the difference is incredible. Like I just run the razor across, it's gone, and I never had a ingrown hair since then. So I'm so grateful. Yeah. Like for me, that was
so many options.
options. But that's what I love too, is just that. So this leads into like the next sort of thing to talk about. Like it, we all, I think a lot of us and a lot of people out there have this idea in their head that a hairy model or a thicker model porn is just not interested in. And in a lot of ways, I feel like mainstream porn industry does have those sort of stupid fucking barriers still. But for us in the creator, the content creator, where we are directly getting our income from fans and customers and not from these companies that are still kind of like trapped in the old way of doing things as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
It really shows you that the people want all kinds of different things and you can have all different styles of being yourself and people will be drawn to it.
Yeah.
Have you is that something like, what was that like to realize that for yourself?
I mean, I've kind of always watched porn and I've never seen anyone kind of like, if you looked up chubby, you would get a full BBW.
Right.
And if you looked up like hairy, you would get, I don't know, you'd get like European, like you, like not English speaking. So I wanted to, when I even just started camming, I was like, I want to show that you can be like hot and thick. Cause I was like,
yes,
past my body dysmorphia era.
Oh, I love to hear that.
So I was like very into my own sexuality and like expressing that with other people.
Yeah.
And I wanted other people to like feel good about themselves. I feel like that's like, like a lot of people have like, they feel like their life mission or whatever. And I think that's my only like life goal is to like make people feel good about themselves. Cause I just think there's so many things that make people feel shitty for no reason. It's
absolutely
so crazy. I was just dating a girl and I showed her something and she was like, oh my God, there is a body type for everybody out there. And I was like, the hell? Yeah. Yeah, there is. What the You didn't know that?
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's such a societal influence. And so a lot of people are like sheltered into that, you know?
Yeah.
And they never see representation of the how diverse everyone's tastes are.
Yes. Yeah. And people's taste is crazy.
Oh, my gosh.
People
all over the place.
In your mouth. Come on.
Yes, exactly.
You can do anything. Nothing's really that gross.
Yeah, it's crazy.
If that's not gross, being a little chubby isn't that gross. Being really
oh my God.
Big isn't gross. Being super
no,
skinny
it's
isn't
not
gross.
Exactly. As long as it's just you are not hurting yourself, and that can go in either direction to achieve some kind of a body style or type or whatever that you think other people want more. Just like do what makes you feel good, not based on what you think, you know, someone else is going to like.
Your body feel good. You feel good. Not based off anyone else's opinions of what that should be for you.
Exactly. Exactly. And I love to see it. And
I love to see it. It's my favorite thing to see. Free sluts. I was like, there needs to be all these different body types, ages, races. Fuck. I mean, who really has? I mean, okay, I guess some people have one specific type, but
sure, some individuals do. Same. I'm just like, I want to be a part of that too, of the representation. Like, I want to be working with such a wide variety of people. And then what I love so much about Slippery Sluts is that, like, I do kind of have like a oil, I don't know if fetish is quite the right word, like kink.
Same.
And I think it came from two places. So one is when I did go to massage therapy school, and it's like, yes, it feels good to rub my hand on, you know, the slick and the And the other thing being like low angle fisheye lens camera shots of big butts that are oily and shiny and jiggling. I'm like, I love that.
Chef's kiss every time. Something about people being oily just looks so good on camera.
It does. Oh, and just like round parts, round boobies, round booties, like yum. So appetizing.
Appetizing is the correct word. Yummy.
Super yummy. Yeah. Okay. So, I want to go back to that, but the beauty school thing. So you went to beauty school, and was this before you ever did any chemming and stuff, or while you were?
Yeah. Right before.
What called to you there?
When I was like in high school and stuff, I knew I didn't want to have a desk job or like a boring job. And I wanted to be, I wanted to be so alt back then. I mean, I guess I still do, but in a very different way than like the superficial thing that I wanted then. And I'd also felt like a good way to be creative, but that wasn't being a starving artist. So it's really what made me get in there. And still my thing of wanting to make people feel good about who they are and stuff.
So. Yes. So was that, did you finish?
I did finish. I finished. I got my, I still have my cosmetology license. I keep it active. Nice. Just for the discounts of hair products alone is worth it. And for I feel like having some version of job security is never a bad option.
Yeah, I agree. I kept my California massage license when I was in California. But once I moved to Nevada, and at the time I was like, I'll never live in California again. And that's probably true. Just economically, it's pretty out of reach. But
parts that aren't super expensive are like, oh, this is kind of just the desert and desolate. It is.
And that's where I grew up. And even those places now are still like, try buying a house. It's going to be it's going to be very difficult. But so then I was just like, well, I'm just going to let it go. And I was looking into getting licensed in Nevada, and that's when the pandemic happened. And I'm just like, I just let it go. But the thing is like, I still have the skill, right? I will always have the skill. And so if there's ever a time, all I have to do is figure out whatever state I'm living in at the time, and what do I have to do to get my license now? And it would never be, we'll go back and start at the beginning again. You know, it'd be like, here are the little hoops you got to jump through and just do that. Yeah. So what drew you?
A board test for massage licensing? Because I know cosmetology does, and they changed it maybe 2 years after I took it. And I was like, if I ever have to take the test again, I'll fail.
Yeah. So it was actually crazy. I in California, so every state is totally different.
Yes.
In California, I applied and got my license in the mail on December 31st. And on January 1st, the rules changed that you had to take a test now. So I got it just from my hours and my schooling and stuff. I was able to get it. Yeah, but then the very fucking next day, they were like, from that point forward, you have to like actually pass a particular type of test. So I was just like, woo, skated under that one.
The luck of it.
Yeah. But if I have to pass one of those, I mean, you still have to do all this like fingerprinting and background check and stuff to get your license, but not the test. But if I have to take one of those tests now in whatever state I end up, if I want to get it again, I would just take some kind of refresher class the class is geared to help you pass the test. Cause I do know everything that you really need to know to, you know, be a good massage therapist, but just like the questions sometimes too, they'll be like this one class that you took one semester, maybe back in the beginning. Like the one thing for me was like Asian healing arts, and you have to know like what colors and what seasons go with what, and you know, it's just kind of, it's like a Chinese medicine questions. And like, for me, that's not the type of massage that I was interested in practicing anyway, but it's like, you would have to know those little detail questions. So give me a course that like will help me study for this fucking exam, which is kind of arbitrary, but.
Yes, it'll be the arbitrary questions as a refresher is what I mean.
Right, exactly. And then I can go and actually like use my hands to help people feel better, you know?
Yes.
But I think that is, it's kind of the thing where, you know, I feel like at one point I understood what my sort of purpose in life was. And it sounds to me like that's what you understand as yours too. And what a powerful thing. Cause I feel like that kind of does just guide the decisions you make moving forward with what you do with your life. It's always this like guidepost. And I think that that is the thing that comes to people if you do want to seek it out. And it comes to people at different times in their life. So no pressure, but
if you get there.
Totally. Yeah. Let's go back again though. I love to talk about your movie, which the AVN Awards haven't happened yet, but by the time this podcast is out, they will have happened, but you got nominated.
Yeah.
First time. How exciting.
So crazy. So unexpected.
And it was for this movie, for Adora Bell's Slippery Sluts, the oil fetish delight. And so you started that. So I also am part of the Trouble Films Collective.
Yes.
So Courtney Trouble is sort of the distributor of when I make like a film rather than clips and stuff like that. I put together like a movie. How did you get in touch with Courtney and sort of decide to release this video through the Trouble Films banner, and tell me that story?
I met her, I'm trying to think when, but I know it was during an AVN. The girl that I was rooming with was shooting with Chelsea Poe, and so both of them came over when I was like ready to leave, getting ready to get out and do all of my clip shooting. And then I met her again maybe 6 months or something after that, and we shot a bunch of stuff in one of their places. I don't know if it was Chelsea's or Courtney's, but it was very fun. And I mean, Courtney's just such a joy to work with. Like any photo that you take, she's like hyping you up so much, like gorgeous, beautiful. This is outstanding. Yeah. I cannot believe what you're doing. And it is you're smiling so hard. You're like, how can I not? I want to do this all the time. And then we had good chemistry when it came to like me and her shooting things, like videos together.
Mm-hmm.
And when I thought about, I kind of was dreaming of making an oily lesbian film for a while. And then after the pandemic, I was kind of feeling like maybe I wouldn't shoot with other people anymore. And I was like, I do really, really want to shoot one more thing. And I want it to be like my dream video of oily lesbians of all different races, ages, gender expressions.
Yeah.
Something that really encapsulated like how diverse someone's sexuality could be.
Yeah.
So I got in contact with her because I was like, I don't think I could do this if I was fully doing it by myself.
Yeah.
I could, but it wouldn't have been what I wanted it to be, what
totally.
I dreamed of it to be. And she's such a good videographer and has such good vision that I was like, this would be a great collab.
Yeah.
And
totally.
I was like, I also want Courtney to be in a scene and I want Chelsea to be in a scene. And yeah. I knew that Zuri Love was in the Bay Area with both of them. So I was like, that's three scenes in one spot, one location. Perfect.
Yeah.
So that's really how it got going. Once I contacted Courtney about it, she was like, this is literally the direction that we want Trouble Films to always be in. We always want it to be progressive, moving forward. So I was like, well, let's get it going.
Fuck yeah. So, I mean, my question now is, are you going to make more?
Yes.
Different ideas and stuff to release through Trouble Films.
Yeah. Yeah. There's.
Yeah. Good.
It was hard not to, because I was doing like a road trip for it to like go all the way. So I'm in Arizona. So going all the way through California and then down through Nevada to get back to Arizona.
Yes, and so we could make a scene for it.
Yes. You and me scene in Nevada and City Screams.
Oh, yeah, perfect. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was so just like, oh, my God. I was, like, excited to do the scene, didn't know what to expect. And then when we worked together, I was like, oh, where have you been?
I know. I was really nervous to shoot with you, and then I was like, as soon as we started making out, I was like, well.
Exactly.
I love when the chemistry is good.
Yes. And there's sometimes where it's like you work with someone, you're like, the scene is good, but you're not feeling that in it. And with you, it's just like, oh, fuck yes. Like there's just these times where I'm like, oh, I hope this, I hope it goes the way I think. I hope it goes, it's good and sexy. And then the second you start kissing, it's like, oh, yes, it is going to be all of those things.
I love that.
I love that.
Very much that. That was good.
It is the best. So about the boy girl stuff. So at one point you did do boy girl, because I had this brought up because you were mentioning maybe at the pandemic being like, maybe I just want to go back to being a solo model or into being just a solo model or whatever. And I fucking get that. I mean, I've seen lots of different reasons why people, change the direction of what they're doing and stuff. So was it that at one point you were just making content with men to make clips, or were you also getting hired to do boy girl scenes, and have you shifted away from that completely, and what might your reasons be for that?
Well, I would get hired for a few, but it wasn't very common, and if it was, I would usually have to shave in some aspect, some sort.
Right.
So that wasn't a huge deterrent, but it just wasn't something I really wanted to do. I like picking what I want to do.
Yes.
I'm like, oh, I have to shave to do that. I don't know if I really want to anymore.
Yeah.
And it's just, I mean, there's so many, all of the clip sites having the big scare with Fosta Sesta was also one of the big things, because I was like, I mean, so many of these people don't do porn anymore. Being on top of your paperwork is always important, but it got scarier. Is like, what if your computer crashes and you lose all of the paperwork that you've had in there? I was like, I don't know if I want to shoot with anyone anymore.
Right.
And then, you know, guys can be so iffy of like, is this a good shoot or is this not a good shoot? Or like, you have a good shoot with them and then later something bad happens and you're like, well, that makes me feel disgusting having this shoot up. So
right.
A lot of that, I was like, it's just safer for me emotionally to not work with male presenting people.
Yeah. And especially in this, in the sort of creator realm, I think you have a lot of people have, they don't really know what they're doing and that, but they got to pretend these dudes. And then there's some newer people or maybe people who are a little more naive or don't quite understand how things work. And then they get taken advantage of by these fuckface men. And
yes.
So it's one thing if you like have a partner, someone you know really well, someone you trust or whatever. But if you don't have that and like just trying to work with these men who may or may not be valid and legit. It is just dangerous, even if not dangerous, like in a physical type of sense, but in a business type sense, the type of shit that you want to be portraying and the standard of the industry that you want to uphold. Right. Like,
yes. Yeah. I love the way you worded that. Yeah. The standard, the industry you want to uphold. Like,
yeah, totally.
And it's hard, especially because people who watch porn don't know any of the background of stuff. So I'm really lucky that my friend group is who they are. They're super supportive and everything. And they want to come to AVN because they're like, but you're nominated. Like, we have to go.
Yes.
I was like,
yes.
That's so sweet. Who are you guys excited to see? And then they name people and I go, no. You don't want to, you can't take a picture with that person. You can, but you have to save it on your phone and you're not posting it.
Right.
Or I don't like want to taint any of your beautiful sex memories, but no more,
and,
please.
But like, you probably don't even actually want to meet that person.
Really though. You know? I mean, especially once I say the things to them, they're like, oh my God, she says what word?
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah. Yeah. They're like, I can't stand by that. I was like, thanks.
Yeah. Sometimes you don't want to meet your heroes, as they say.
They say it for a reason.
Yeah. But not us though. Come to AVN and get an autograph from me because I'm fucking awesome. No.
Yes. Yeah.
No, it'll be too late when
this
comes out.
We're nice people to take pictures with.
That's right. Support the nice
people. Paint your memories.
Exactly. Exactly. But yeah, going back to that, it's really what's really cool and amazing in the past. You know, especially 5-6 years, but the past while is the democratization of porn is the thing where it is what OnlyFans and the whole concept of that actually going out to more people coming out was the fact that you can make your own content, you can earn your own money, and you can kind of focus your energy and time on that so that if someone offers you a gig and you don't want to do it, you can just say no. And back in my day, back in the grandma days of porn, it wasn't like that. You had, if you got offered a job and you said no, well, there was a big chunk of paycheck that was an opportunity for you that is gone now. And not to say that like, we were always just doing shit we didn't want to do, but there was a different kind of economic factor hanging over. That now doesn't exist in the same way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say even when I started, I mean, even trade stuff, like I would feel like I was losing out on money if I wasn't doing a trade with someone, even if I was like, I kind of don't want to do that, but I'll experiment to see if I do. Or like,
well, open-minded.
Me and a friend talking about, me and a friend talking about, I would do blow bangs.
Yeah.
Which is like a blowjob gangbang. For me, the pay of that was like so awesome, but also I am pretty slutty and I was like, this is going to be fun.
Yeah. It does sound fun.
But then me telling her that and she was like, for how much money? She was like, absolutely not. She's like, that is nowhere near enough money. And I was like, for me, it's like way more than what I would do this for. So it's like,
oh, interesting.
Everyone's pay is everyone's idea of how much money is how much money. Does that make sense?
You know, for sure.
$100 to one person is $10 to another.
Yes. So very much.
Yeah.
Very much. But I think the important thing in spaces like that, just the one thing that really matters the most is that it's like, it's your choice to make, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. So if you're like, you know, getting gangbanged in this way actually sounds like something I kind of want to experience. So this amount for it is great for me.
Yeah. You know?
Whereas like with someone else would be like, how much? Fuck no, you should be getting this amount. But it's because that's their standard of what they want to do or not want to do, you know? And that's the thing is you'll see this meme going around on the internet sometimes, like, would you suck, like asking a straight man, like, would you suck a dick for $1 million? And it's just like, and I've seen this other creator that I love. I'm not going to shout him out, but he's just like, well, fuck yeah, I would. It's $1 million. I'd probably do it for $100,000. $100,000.
I know. I love, my favorite question is like, I mean, even if it's just something weird, like some weird fetish that we might get asked to do or something, I'm like, how much money would you realistically take for,
absolutely,
like, say spitting your like toothpaste spit into someone's mouth or in your mouth? How much would you take?
A little more.
I know. Like, a little more, but I was like, my number is still pretty low.
But not that high. No. It's more like,
I asked it to someone and he was like, God, $2,000? And I was like, $2,000?
What?
I was like, God, our finances are in a very different place. Like, it's
different. Exactly. And also, like, I mean, I've had, and I'm not sure if you've had this yet, but stick around long enough and I'm sure you'll get it. People ask, like, how much for you to shit on my chest in a session?
Or, like, not in a session, but how will you do this for a video?
Oh, on a video too.
Have that question.
Yeah. If on a video, I mean, the answer is just no. Like, I just wouldn't at all. And but that's just completely out of no. But like, not video recorded, I'm like, well, I have to sit here and really consider it. Like, what, like, could I? But I mean, it's the same. I couldn't. It would be very difficult. It would be extremely challenging for me. But there's a number.
I'm alone. There,
yeah, exactly. But there's a fucking number. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you could keep going up, and I would hit a point where I'm like, okay, I'm gonna try. Like, I'm gonna do my best.
Physically see that you have that amount of money.
Yes.
I think about this. Yeah.
And the funny thing is, there's one person that was more like, we went through this whole fucking thing, and he's like, all right, you would be in a separate hotel room and you could just shit in this bowl and then you can leave and I'll come in and do whatever I want with the shit in the bowl. And I was like, I'd do that. And so we're like talking about the price and everything. But what I found with people who talk about the shit stuff is like, that they just don't mean it. That second it comes down to like, well, okay, well, where are you going to be? And like, here, put down the deposit and da, 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 and then they're just completely ghost. So I'm like, okay, I'm not wasting my time on that stuff anymore because it's usually just not really anyways. You know, whatever, like $10,000. Here's the thing about being in the industry. If it ever sounds like unrealistically too good to be true, 100% it is. It's not real.
Yes. So. Absolutely. We
don't waste your time.
Time to find that out.
Yep. 100%. Okay. So when was the first time that you became aware that pornography existed and was a part of the world?
I have kind of always watched porn. Like, I had a friend, like a neighborhood girlfriend, and she like pulled out a VHS and showed me it, and I was like, oh my God, this is making me feel so many things.
What was it?
It was, when I think about it, it's so insane that it's the first porn I watched and that I love porn.
Yeah,
because it was like a crazy montage of like so many different fetishes. Like, it starts off with like a biker scene where like a girl's getting spanked by like an older man, and it is so hot. It's still one of my like hotter memories that I jerk off to sometimes.
Yeah, that you go back to. Yeah.
Yeah. There's like a shoe worship scene. There was pussy shaving. There was Oh my God, at the end, we almost never got to the end part, but one of them, like, there was a guy in, like, one of those gimp mask things, like, fully covered, but then they zip open his mouth and he licks some pussy. And I'm yes. like, I like, but that's the first, that was my intro to porn. And I'm like, but I also love porn. I think sex is so cool. There was some, sex, some like regular sex scenes in there. And there was this like full storyline. It was like definitely a 90s porn of like,
yeah,
here's the storyline of like, this couple is going to go on this date to this weird like castle thing. And like fall more in love with each other. and then like it'd be like them at dinner and she like went to like get her shoes cleaned at the thing, and that's where the shoe fetish thing happened. And then like she goes to the bathroom and someone's there to like shave her pussy before she so does. And
yeah, so it's a whole storyline. All of the clip pieces were held together by this story of this couple.
Yes, it was wow, so interesting. And then at like the end, they're like deeply in love with each other again.
Oh my God, that is so wholesome.
It's so wholesome for all the like weird sex fetish, and then it's like we love each other.
Oh my God, that's so cute. I love so that. Cute. Have you ever like gone back and tried to find that movie?
Semi-recently, and it was I could not find anything. I mean, also yeah. I was like, what do I even look up? I was like, couple that enters wild kinky sexy fetishy dungeony thing
castle place. Yeah, from the 90s.
Sure, just one place would show up. Thinking Pinky Castle, they'd be like, this is all we could find. That's not
yeah. So how do you identify sexually and sexually, gender wise, what was that discovery like for you?
I identify as bi and queer. I've always like gay has always been okay in my household, so it's never been
yay.
Like, a weird thing. I had an uncle who was gay and that everybody loved. So I was like,
yes,
gay, that's fine. And in like in schooling and stuff, like I've always gone to like art magnets. So yeah. like a queer center.
Yep.
And so I've always known like, just everyone always as identifying as bi and stuff. So I was like a little yeah. resistant, I think, to my own feelings, just because it almost felt like conforming to like everyone else's idea. Cause like all of my friends were like, oh no, we're bi and we love kissing other girls. And I was like, I think you guys are doing that to be edgy.
And, yep. Or like turn on the boys or.
Yes, or to turn on the boys. So I was like, yeah. I don't know about that. But then later in high school and stuff, I was more like, you know, I do only really want to kiss girls, but I only had like I guess romantic fantasies about boys, but I would have like sexual fantasies more towards women. So yeah,
I feel
so
that
it felt very confusing for a while, but I feel like I'm so grateful for porn in so many ways,
yeah,
and like joining the industry, because like being able to like fully explore being sexual with girls, I was like, okay, I definitely do like this,
yes.
In a way that wasn't like, because, I mean, I wouldn't have known how to even, like, I've never been good at flirting. Never. So I was yeah, like, how would I have done that to, like,
get a girl?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm still like, I need this industry because I need women. And so if I didn't have this industry, like, how would I have sex with women?
Okay, but I want to have some pussy and I can't just.
I don't know how to get it naturally in the wild.
No, I don't know. I don't know how to do it. So
yeah, yeah.
Super grateful for porn existing and like helping me be like, yeah, I'm definitely bi. Because I started when I was, it would have made me 20. I think I was almost 21, but I was definitely 20.
Yeah.
Starting. So that's like definitely in, I'm 20. Oh, I must have been in here for 9 years because I'm 29 right now. Okay, is that what time works? Wait, was I 21? You know, I have no idea.
It was around that time.
It was around that time. The 20s is when you're questioning a lot of things. So what's up with that? I don't think I would have really been like, I am bi. Because for a long time I was like, I'm pretty sure I'm the only straight one in my friend group. Wow. Then I was like, oh, no, I'm another one of the bis in the friend group.
Turns out, no, actually. Yeah. So all, you didn't have.
Okay.
God, that must be nice. So you didn't actually, you didn't have to have like a coming out moment with your family with regards to, your own sexual identity. What did you have a coming out moment as far as camming and making porn and stuff?
A little bit, but I just feel so lucky. I think about it all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because like, I grew up with like, I mean, a very interesting household. My dad's just very open about things, but is also he is very feminist in a very interesting way. He would talk about like how him and his friends would go to the strip club and one of the friends would be like trying to like, you know what, the thing of like getting a stripper to be like, you're hotter than this, like you don't have to do this. And my dad would be like, dude, what are you doing? She's making more money than you. Shut the fuck
exactly.
up.
Exactly. Oh my God. Yes.
And this was like before I'd ever, this was like before I'd ever even thought about doing sex work. He was just like having a good time telling us this story. So I was like, doing sex work's fine, I think.
Yeah.
A little bit of a coming out story because he was like, well, wait, hold on. You're my daughter. Like that's
it's my daughter.
Kind of different. But once they like see that you're safe and like you're doing this because you want to, not somebody else wanting you to, then it's like, oh, that's really fine. So
that's awesome.
Super lucky in that way.
Yeah. I was very lucky in a similar way, at least that. Well, it took my mom a little while to come around, but the crazy thing is my dad was just like, he wanted to find ways to let me know that he supported me. And that was like, that was really special, I think. And I, you know, obviously not everybody gets that. And it's same like coming out queer in a lot of ways, because to have just to have the support of your family or to have them at least be like, are you happy? Are you healthy? Yeah. Are you safe? And you say yes to all of those things. And then they're like, then live your life, you know? That's the way to be. If you're a parent, I hope you're listening.
Truly. Yeah, very lucky. Definitely not everyone's story. So it's really nice. It's very lucky that we got to have that story.
Yeah, so much. Wow, love it. Well, gosh, I've loved talking to you and hearing your origin story. And I'm so excited to know that there will be more from you in the future with Trouble Films and all that. So I hope, obviously, like we have more opportunities together. Just because like I have a crush on you, so okay.
Kind of want to get in, I don't know.
Have to make my way down to Arizona.
Yeah.
But will you answer some questions from my listeners with me?
Absolutely, can't wait.
I've got a couple here. All right, so the first one is from Not Confident in Bed. This question comes from Reddit. I actually have a subreddit called Sage Sex Advice, and although I'm not super active on it, I do get questions from there sometimes, especially if Hint, hint, my listeners are not sending in enough questions, sensagepodcast@gmail.com. But yeah, so play around on Reddit sometimes. And this question is, I don't feel like I ever truly satisfy my wife. I would love to last longer in bed, but it seems like my penis is too sensitive. I will max out at about 5 to 7 minutes. As long as I am in control, I can last longer, but the moment she rides me, it's over. I would love to learn how to last longer so I can truly satisfy her and make her have great orgasms every time. There's so much to say here.
There is. Well, A, this guy sounds really sweet.
I love that. I love hearing about men who are very concerned with female partners' pleasure. Like, yeah. Rather than just like, I don't care, I got off, obviously. So,
yeah.
Give this man a trophy.
Yeah. One of the good ones.
Yeah.
I mean, it honestly sounds like a compliment to me when someone has to come fast.
But definitely, I mean, for a few times, but I can see it being a little bit like, okay, now it's happened like 20 times, 30 times we're in a relationship, and like sometimes I want to have sex
10 years.
Yeah, like 5 minutes, maybe I want to have a different kind of sexual experience sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the classic like, oh, well, we're queer, so sex isn't usually just penis.
Yes.
The answers are always toys. Toys, fingers, mouth. You've got a whole body. Use it.
Yes. Grind
on my knee and make out with me for a long time first, and before I'm allowed to penetrate you with my penis.
Abso-fucking-lutely. So I'll just get a little personal. I don't have that problem with my partner. he's really amazing. I mean, he could go for an hour, and if I said I want to go another hour, he would do it. And this is really, really helpful for movies, for making movies, and like be able to not. And then when I said, okay, I'm done now, so like, can you come within a minute? He can come. So
within a minute.
Generally speaking,
a trained professional. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So sorry for the humble brag there, but.
See them.
Yes, but you know, something that we do like to like sex, listener, is not only when your penis enters her vagina, period. Something that does bother me a lot is when people say that oral is only foreplay. I'm like, in for a lot of people and in a lot of different times, like oral is sex. Yeah. Like giving someone an orgasm with your mouth isn't always just the foreplay. It could be part one of many parts, but that is sex. You are fucking. You're just not P&V or whatever. Or you're not just like tribbing or, you know, it's just.
Yeah.
So when I – oftentimes when I have sex, like I have one orgasm minimum before he has his orgasm. And usually I have two before he has his. And so I would say, listener, that like, are you making sure she's orgasming before you put your penis in her vagina? Like, go down on her. And if you – so first of all, please go down on her. Communicate. Mm-hmm. Number one, talk to her. Say, we are only having sex for 5 to 7 minutes. I come. What is that like for you? Yes. For all you fucking know, that's more than enough for her. Mm-hmm. I know people who are just like, man, okay, so I have this friend who's a couple and they're fucking all the time. And I'm like, damn, you know, we don't fuck as often. Am I inadequate? Whatever, you know, but it's like, but the thing about it is they have like, now they only have 3 kids left in the house, but at the time they had like 4 or 5 kids in the house. And so, and also she was coming like once or twice in like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And so when they're like, yeah, we fuck, you know, like 5 times a day, well, they're getting together in a closet somewhere while the kids are distracted, fucking for like 2 or 3 minutes. And then moving on with their day. And then they do it again later. Like, That's
it's not
a different
hour long stints that are.
Yes. Yes. And I like oftentimes when we have sex, now we're maybe not an hour or whatever, but like 20 to 40 minutes is somewhat regular. And I'm like, I don't want to be doing 20 to 40 minutes like five times a day. I'm busy. I got shit to do.
I know technically on some level sex is our job, but not to that extent. Yes.
And yeah. And like I have to get on the computer and answer emails so I can make more fuck videos. Like,
yeah.
But my point with just like telling those two different stories is that every person is different with what their levels of desire, the ways in which they come. You know, I couldn't come just from a dick inside of me in 2 minutes. Like I have to pull out a toy and I have to have like other things going on for me. So talk to your wife and say, tell me about that. Like, what are the ways you like to come? Does she come from just your dick in her pussy, or does she need clitoral stimulation also? If you are feeling insecure about going down on her, be like, hey, we're going to have sex tonight, but it's going to be really informative for me. So I'm going to go down on you. Tell me, do you like this? Do you like that? What if I tried this? What about here? She can show you on her body where she likes it. Cause like for me, I like it. Yo, get me warmed up all over the place. But then when it's time to like start focusing, I've got my clit and it's like the upper right quadrant in a circle.
Yes.
You know?
I mean, yes. It's like
this sort of specific area. And maybe she likes your tongue to be firm and hard. Maybe she likes it to be soft and wet. There's just all these different ways. That
she
you can try.
All over. She likes it just in one certain spot. All the things.
Maybe she likes a one finger inside. Maybe she doesn't. Maybe she likes two. Like, just get her off before you put your penis in her. Like, definitely do that at least. And get a toy. Get a fucking toy. Get a clit toy that's like just a little vibrator. Get a Hitachi, a magic wand that's a bigger vibrator. Get a penetrative vibrator, like a penis shaped or like a those standard ones that are just smooth kind of, but they turn up real high, and put that in her slowly as you lick her pussy. Like that shit is fire. Vibration so inside. Good. It's so long.
I like just a finger. Great. Awesome. If it's a vibrator inside me, sometimes it's too much stimulation. And I think my pussy is too sensitive. Sometimes I ask for more. Sometimes I ask for less.
Absolutely.
Definitely comes super fast. I also know so many pussy hoppers that do not like having their pussy eaten. They would much rather have the harder sensation of a hand against it or like the grinding sensation against a knee or something like that.
Yes.
So many things like that. And like, I guess other foreplay thingies of like spanking, making out, like those things are just grabbing, just body grabbing.
Yeah. Ooh, I love that. Like kissing and pressing bodies together and like squeezing around the body.
Different parts, squeezing their hips, squeezing their butt, squeezing their hips closer onto you, squeezing their back, things like that.
Worshipping their ass. Have them bend over and like grab those butt cheeks and jiggle them and like bite the cheeks, sniff the cheeks, lick the cheeks. If she's into having you eat her fucking ass. Like chances are she's not likely to come from that. But like, see, these are all the ways that you make sex last longer because this is all part of having sex. And so if the whole ordeal is done in 5 to 7 minutes, do all of these other things to make the ordeal last longer before you even put your fucking dick in her. And so you're right. Like ask her if she even likes having her pussy eaten, because for a lot of pussy havers, like the clit is so fucking sensitive that like they can't even handle that.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean you can't, like sensually finger or say, oh, what if I do one finger? Do you like that? Well, what about two?
Yes.
Do you like even more? Do you want less? Like, what
and
if I just
so
rub your vulva?
Doing things and they go, is that good? Do you like that? And it's like,
oh, yeah. And that's how you ask. Yeah.
More. More. That? Yeah. Yeah. We like more.
Oh, it's so hot. And these are the way to make sex last. And but if it comes down to it and you do all of those things, and then she's like, but what I really would love to feel is your penis inside of me for longer. Mm-hmm. You don't mention, but I would say put on a fucking condom.
Yeah.
From everything that I hear, like when you put on a condom, guys in general don't like it because you can't feel anything. Well, maybe that's kind of what you want for a little while. There are also and I don't know too much about the health and safety of all this these types of products, but there are desensitization like creams and gels and things like that where you can literally like stroke your cock with this gel or whatever, and it will desensitize your cock, and then maybe you can last longer that way. Yeah, and then maybe too, you just stay in control for as long as you can. And don't let her get on top of you until she has had one or two or more orgasms. Then you know she's fucking satisfied, like at least with the time with you and having orgasms and everything. And then it's like now whenever that could be her cue to end the sex. She's like, yeah. That's her little tool. When I get on top of you, I've had enough and I'm feeling good and I want you to come now. Or like take the condom off, or, you know, the other thing being maybe you need to try edging more. So when you jerk off until you're almost going to come and then fucking stop. Stop.
Yeah. It's so hard, but you got to try it.
You got to try. Your dick will be like, no. And then you're like, no. Nope. And then give it a minute. Wait until you kind of come back from that. That orgasm feeling that, as Dan Savage puts it, the edge of orgasmic inevitability, come back from that. And then when you're down again, okay, now like let's start stroking it again. Get right back up there to the edge and stop. Do this like 10 times every time you jerk off. And this is what happens. Like our brains it's called neuroplasticity, and you can train your brain. You can change the way things work in there. And that includes your orgasms. That includes the way you come. And so if you practice that, which sounds like a lot of hard work, jerking off all the time. There is just,
I can an hour.
Right. You should do that.
Last as long as you can.
That's right. And there's,
start again later, even if you can.
Oh yeah.
Wait a little bit and see what your time is, your best time in between.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, like
having like a porn in the background and being like, I'm gonna watch the whole 30 minutes of this video. Like, I'm gonna make it to the end, even if I don't jerk off again. I'll see if it makes me horny again and see if I can do it again.
Yes.
Try that even. Yes.
Exactly. And so maybe
people who their in between time is less than 5 minutes. So she might still, and you're doing other things to her in that 5 minutes, keeping yourself horny and keeping her horny during that. And then going again.
I was going to say that too. Yeah. Like you never know if you kept things sexy and you kept doing stuff to her and for her. And then maybe it would only be 5 minutes and you'd be like, okay, I can keep fucking you now, you know? So man, I feel like we gave you a nice big package of options I would absolutely love to hear back. Hopefully this Redditor listens to the podcast, but
please, you're going to have to comment under his Reddit comment and be like, we answered your question. I hope you listen and give me the response of what you tried. Please try something.
Please try something.
Literally just asking. I love the way you worded how to ask, because I don't think a place of like shame is a good place to ask, of like,
totally,
am I doing this wrong? Like, she would want to appease you and say that it's good, but to ask how that experience is for you is a really good way to ask. That's a very open-ended way.
Mm-hmm. And it takes that kind of like onus off of her feeling some sort of guilt about how you're feeling about things, and instead is curiosity from you about how she's feeling about things. And then she feels special and she feels like, you know, validated, like her pleasure is important to you, not that she needs to validate your insecurity, right?
Yeah, if you're really curious about how she's feeling, she'll know. But if you're
exactly
curious, but you're not lasting, if you have right. a mental block about what
right you're doing, like an ego different. Thing yeah. yeah or a toxic thing, no, don't make it that.
Yeah. Lasting 5 minutes is fine. I mean, if you were lasting
totally.
An hour every single time, I'm sure she might
be sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes you just want, you don't even want it that long.
Yeah.
There are some times when I'm like, I really want to fuck right now, but I don't want to do it for a long time. And like, I don't even want to come. I just want to mm-hmm. feel you inside of me. And I want to have that like fucking energy. And then yeah. just, I want you to come and then I can get on with my day. Like there's some times every once in a while, yeah. like, that's what I'm feeling. So
sometimes 5 minutes is the perfect amount of time.
Yeah. Yep. But yeah, again, it is best to talk to your partner and know those things. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. And then, this is a perfect question for you too. Okay, so this is from CD, and the question is, how often do female creators wax? Does waxing too much cause irritation?
Oh, literally, after we talked about the irritation and the other things about that.
Totally.
I will say, I mean, one of the reasons I stopped the waxing my armpits was because I also, I mean, it was A, the waiting in between periods, and that when I did do it, I was getting a lot of ingrown hairs in my armpits. I'm sure it's also yeah. because we were students learning how to do it. So we weren't doing
it sure.
Could be. Super correctly, but mm-hmm. I did get waxed professionally sometime within the beginning of me starting in this. And mm-hmm. I still got ingrowns all over my pubic area.
Wow.
Luckily not in my butthole.
That would be bad.
It was a lot. Yeah. I don't get them that much from shaving, which is
interesting.
Yeah. Every physical body is so different. It is crazy.
Yeah. Wild. Cause I will say, like, I will tell people sometimes, like, if you want to avoid the ingrown hairs, well, try waxing and you can't do the laser for whatever reason. Try waxing. Because yeah. for me and my body, I was even getting ingrowns in my armpits from shaving my armpits and yeah. with a razor. So the razor was what was causing me the ingrowns. But when I wax my armpits, when I wax my butthole, I still wax my butthole and like never. It was just smooth and, you know, it was uncomfortable because like you're ripping the wax off. But even yeah. on my butthole, it doesn't even feel like I don't know. I'm kind of like, it's refreshing.
I will say that thinking of getting waxed on like any of those intimate areas was nothing for me in comparison of the pain of like getting any type of facial waxing. I can't do
it on my face. God.
I'm like, I can't do this.
No. I did my mustache probably 2 or 3 times. And not only is it like incredibly painful, but it was something about the ripping off of the wax that it pulls up whatever bacteria are just living in your skin. I mean, you have natural like bacteria living in your skin that do their thing and it's fine. But when you rip the wax off, but it would always make pimples in the areas that I was waxing.
I always thought it also had something to do with like that pore was filled and now it's empty and you're just living your life. So like even just air pollution can get into your pores.
Mm-hmm. So now I try to just use like a tea tree oil or something it wouldn't matter. It would still just make pimples and also just fucking painful and stupid. And then I found this amazing little razor. It's called Flawless. And fuck, I just use that now. I just use that. I don't have to bleach
my mustache. I use my laser on my mustache, on my little beard.
Damn, girl. The fear there is just that that it grows back more sort of in the male way, like getting like a stubble or a shadow. Do you have that experience?
I can say, as someone who went to cosmetology school, I know the science behind that is that it doesn't grow back thicker. It's just that the stubble from it feels thicker. Like,
yeah.
And I've been shaving my mustache for 10 years. Yeah. And it's never grown back thicker. It's always the same 5 hairs.
Oh, yeah. If it's more like that, totally, yeah. Like, that's why I have little chin hairs, but I just pluck them because it's, like, not enough to just shave. It's just, like, there's maybe 2 and then 2, and I feel them when they're coming out, and I just grab them and take them out. But this flawless thing, I almost want to, like, try to talk you into getting it.
Yeah, I'm already, like, I'm like ready to use my Google fingers.
Yeah, use your Google fingers. You can usually buy it too in like a CVS or whatever, or Walgreens, and it's like the as seen on TV kind of zone where they sell stuff. Oh. And it's like a little, I got a purple one. There's like pink and white, whatever. And it's battery operated, and it almost works the same way that those shavers for men, where you see like it's all the little dots, and somehow the shaver's like underneath those little dots so you don't cut yourself, but it gets the hair. I don't know how it does that. But yeah, with this razor blade shaving, it's not that it grows back in thicker. It's that you are taking the hair and you're cutting the hair off in the middle versus like waxing, you're pulling it out at the root. So when it regrows, it comes back out like poking through as a thin hair rather than like a cut off, like a blunt edge poking through your skin. Does that make sense? Yeah,
definitely.
But anyways, getting a little off the rails, even though we did talk about this before, so just such a great question for this episode is that. So when it comes to waxing, that's sort of, I think this is the answer to the question, is that every person, regardless of gender or sex, removes or leaves on their hair in whatever way they have found works best for them. So obviously, like Adora is saying that, sometimes the waxing causes irritation for her. When I have waxed in the past, like that hasn't caused irritation for me. But what I know is that when it comes to my delicate pussy lip area, I just do not want to be ripping wax off of it. So I went with the laser therapy, and that changed everything for me. But also I just use a razor down there. Do not like using a razor on the butthole, because when the hair grows back in the butthole area, it is fucking like itchy and painful because it's a very sensitive area. So I like to just use the wax. I did get laser there too, but again, it just still kind of grows back in a way that is not good when you have an HD video camera, you know, 4K, 6K, 8K looking at my butthole, like
so close to it, closer than you're ever going to be to it. Like,
yeah, any human's butthole ever, but like,
yes,
trying to just keep things neat down there. But so yeah, and I wouldn't, you know, waxing too much causes irritation. Just different things will cause different irritations for different people and different bodies. So
not exfoliating.
Oh, yeah.
The body wash or soap you're using, if you change what your soap you're using, if you change your laundry detergent, everything.
Oh, man.
Everything
depends how sensitive your body is and your skin and all that stuff. So it's just an individual journey. The body hair grooming is a completely personal, individual journey that everyone's got to take for themselves.
Try things around and see what works. I would say what sticks, but nothing's worse than when you have that new stubble coming in and like your panties are kind of sticking to it. Oh my God. We don't want what sticks. Yep. We don't want what sticks.
Yeah, not what sticks. Well, fuck yeah, awesome. You've been great answers. Thank you so much for your support with those questions, and just what a lovely guest, and thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me. Thanks so much for being you and doing all the things you do.
Well, it's my pleasure. And can you please please tell my listeners where they can find you and follow you on your socials, and where they can find your products and buy them and spend money on you to support you financially in the work that you do?
Yeah, I'm on so many things. I'm on so many things, but I'm not on Instagram. I am only on Twitter. Adora _belly, like your tummy belly. I'm on many vids. I want clips for sale Adora Belle, no spaces. I have my own site, myadorabelle.com. I'm on OnlyFans. That is the same as my Twitter handle. Oh, Chatterbait. Duh.
Yeah. 5 days a week.
Yeah, so often, except for when I don't want to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what's nice about this job.
It's so true. It's why I really recommend people follow my Twitter, because my schedule, as much as it is very close to 5 days a week, it is also very mixed around. Sometimes it's 3 days, sometimes it's all five. Sometimes it's early, sometimes it's late. You never know with me. I keep it loose, keep it mystery.
Keep it spicy.
But I'm Adora Bell there too. You can do chatterbait.com/AdoraBell and you'll find me.
Wonderful. Well, thank you again so very much for being here. And thank you everyone for listening. And if you didn't catch it earlier in the show, we obviously need more of your questions. I want to ask a professional for advice about sex, relationships, love, or do you have any questions for a professional about the porn industry and how things work? Please send me those questions. The email address is sinsagepodcast@gmail.com. Sometimes people want to send me the question on social media and stuff, but like that does not work. So please send the question to sinsagepodcast@gmail.com. I am Sin Sage. You know where to find me. Website is sin-sage.com. And yeah, so please go check out all of Adora's links and go check out my links and keep listening to the podcast and tell your friends about it. And when you're out there living your life, please do so authentically. Bye.
Bye.